welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR, 1490 AM, heard every Monday, 5.05 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and blockchain news and more. What happened this week? Well, a study conducted by Bitwise concluded that about 95% of the total trading volume reported by exchanges is artificially created. Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg is not thinking about just creating his own crypto. He wants to replace the U.S. dollar. That's according to Ted Livingston. And Square CEO Jack Dorsey is hiring engineers for Square Crypto. Meanwhile, IBM Blockchain Worldwide is using Stellar to serve as a network provider for international payments. We're going to get to all that and more in just a moment. And let's go around the studio right now and find out just who is here. You're a regular listener to the station on Mondays, you know that theme music is for one half of the founders of Seeking Cryptos. And if you listened to the previous show live today, Talking Markets, you had both half of Seeking Cryptos founders. That would be Mark Principato, but in the studio, as he usually is the other half of SeekingCryptos.com, Andrew Gonsi. Hey, Andy.
Good afternoon, Henry.
Yes, well, good to have you here as usual.
Absolutely.
And then we have a surprise.
Pink Floyd?
Well, it's been a long time since we played that liner.
Beep, beep.
That, of course, is the bumpers on the Bite Federal commercial that you hear each week here for over a year now, and we're glad for that. Right here on the Henry Rain Show, and we have actually one half of the co-founders of Bite Federal. Leonard Lopen is here, Chief Technical Officer.
Henry, Andy, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yes, and in just a second I'm going to ask you what's been going on with Bite Federal, because I know there's been a lot since last time you've been here.
It's been ages, yeah.
Yeah, it's been
a year.
4 or 5 months. No,
I feel like coming back from the Crusades, trenched in blood. that's how it feels like.
When was the last time? What price was Bitcoin the last time you were on?
You know, I think if it wasn't 6, it was 10, 12, 14,000 or something.
I think it's been about 6 months. It's only one appearance that you made, but I think it was in 5 or 6 months ago, and then. That way would have been put it in the 6,000 range, okay. And then I think it was probably 8 or 10,000. Yeah. It's all a blur when you're.
It's a blur. It was moving very fast from 3,000 to 19,000, and as fast as it went up, it came down just like we mentioned before in 2013.
Well, we're going to get to the news in a second, but the real news is what the heck's been happening with Bite Federal. And
well.
Let me plug the website first.
Okay, sure.
BiteFederal.com, B-Y-T-E, and BiteFederal.com. Your other half of co-founders, Lee Hansen, would want me to do that, I'm sure.
No, absolutely, and he would also want you to add that it's B-Y-T-E, like computer byte, and not Bite the Fed, as would be the other playful.
Did I say B-Y-T-E?
No, you did, but there's if you think about it, it's Biting the Fed is in there as well.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Subtle.
Very subtle. Very, very subtle.
Actually, it was very clear. Just too
no, I didn't know. I didn't know about this either. But Lee made sure that I got that little pun one day. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. By the way, how long have you and Lee known each other?
I think since 2004, not 2015, probably.
Ages.
Ages, yeah, I guess, in Bitcoin years, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we aged very fast in the last 2 years since we started our Bitcoin company.
Okay, so back over a year ago when you first came on, and then you signed on as sponsors, which was really the reason we're still here, then you had four machines around Tampa Bay and all the way down, extending the empire all the way to Englewood, Florida. And you had one in Miami, I believe. So it was, maybe it was five machines. And now, where have you spread to? Palmetto? Sarasota?
No, we're spread all the way up to Michigan, Ohio. So basically from, I was going to say, from Key West to Grand Rapids. But
how far west?
I would love to be further west, especially given how crypto-friendly the West has become. The furthest west, I believe, is probably Michigan.
So how many states?
11 states. 11 states, 60 ATMs.
20%, over 20% of the union.
Yeah, yep. And we're gonna fill the rest. I mentioned before also to Andy the biggest hurdle is still banking, the banking system and the resistance.
The lack of banking.
No, is it the banks themselves or the regulations and compliance officers?
All of the above. Like, I think we mentioned this in one of the earlier shows, is we interviewed personally about 400 banks in the United States.
That's 400. Crazy. 400. I didn't know there were that many.
400. No, there's probably more, but it's a good number.
They got hired at 399. Wow. Said one more.
Yeah, and these were not just calls. You know, this is calling up the teller at the front desk. These are conversations where you try to go all the way up to the CEO, board, president, and usually, and it's interesting. Not usually, but quite often, you would get a president or a board member who would say, like, that's amazing, that's cool, yeah, totally, I'm excited about crypto. I'd like our bank to play a role in this. And then they have a conversation with their compliance department. And then there is crickets. And that's just part of the regulations for banks as such, especially smaller banks, that they're very, very scared. Very, very scared of audits coming in from, depending whether a regulatory agency, which they're listed under, if it's the feds, the regular, the regional feds, or if it's the... not CFTC, FDIC.
Mm-hmm.
It depends, because once they have a cryptocurrency company on board, they believe that they'll get all their accounts
audited.
And yeah. If there's anything off, then they already get fined. I was told by this one bank, you know, we get fined if there's a parking sign wrong, like turned in the wrong direction.
That's nuts.
We get fined. So for us taking this on is a very big risk. And what can possibly be the profit, you know, adding a little cryptocurrency?
Especially for the compliance officer, there is no incentive to take a risk.
There is none, especially very often they're personally held liable. And that's a big issue.
Man.
And if you as a banker don't have a compliance department that's strong, you might as well pack your bags and give up. So the incentive structure is such that it benefits large banks. Large banks, you see, they gobble up all the small banks. And any innovative ideas, even from a good player, if you will, that plays by the book, by Federal, has a really hard time to get an account.
You know, it's kind of a shame, because that was never the intent of the banking system. And
well, I'm going to roll this up a little
bit. Okay, go ahead. I'm going to go.
A lot of the news this week is going to be talking about banks and payment systems, and then I think it's going to lend itself to finding out how Bite Federal is disrupting things, even with the problems they have trying to get a cooperative bank, because we're going to find out more about how they're actually adding more than cryptocurrency into the machines. We're going to talk about how you can buy gold through the Bite Federal ATMs, and you go to bitefederal.com to find out more about that. But let's go ahead and get started and see how some of this all plays together this week.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
Sidebar to the first story, there's a whole rundown that we prepare each week, and Andy and Leonard get a chance to look at it. But I do want to follow up a story from last week, and that was the announcement that there was a bill introduced in both the House and the Senate in the state of Florida to initiate a blockchain task force. I believe that's gotten through at least two subcommittees now. A minor amendment was in the second subcommittee. Just about the structure of the task force. I think there's about 19 members that are proposed, with three coming from, like, the Senate president, two from the governor. Everybody that has a little stroke in Tallahassee gets their say.
It's just amazing how they just red tape and suppress this stuff with just a bunch of garbage. And probably most of them don't even own Bitcoin.
Well, the point is, though, that at least there's some movement. They see what Ohio has done. They see what Wyoming's done. And like the compliance officer where there is no incentive to take a risk, now that they see other people taking risks,
yeah,
they feel more comfortable doing it, and maybe we'll all benefit from it.
Wyoming definitely is a major has become a major
player. Who would have thought?
And Caitlin Long, you know, coming with her credentials from Wall Street, and then in the state where she can
Wyoming.
And is well connected, and made these things happen. It's amazing. These bills that came out, I think 12 or 13, crypto friendly, and very thoughtful, very thought through bills that they introduced passed. It's just really fascinating. Even for us, by Federal, we're looking at this, and we're very excited about it.
And we probably don't have time to get to it. It's the very end of the rundown. But just a sentence about even Rahm Emanuel, the former Obama chief of staff and mayor of Chicago, is speaking favorably about cryptocurrency and, of course, blockchain. Everybody wants to be the blockchain hub of the universe these days.
But it's here in Bradenton.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, anybody listening to the show, especially knowing that Byte Federal originated here, and, of course, the radio show and SeekingCryptos.com, that this is the center
Henry
of the blockchain
Byte,
universe.
Probably many people don't know.
As well as our suburbs up in Tampa and Orlando.
Henry is a major player in the crypto scene. He because of him, by proxy, actually, I think a lot of people in the United States have heard about Bitcoin.
It's 7-8. Maybe even double digits.
No. What about Free Talk Live? That's a very interesting story. If you think about it.
It is, and something we don't have time for. One thing that we're going to follow up, tie a lot of loose ends together this week, is Andy, of course, and I have talked about, can you really trust the trading volume that gets reported? Last week it was like, it's the most Bitcoin trading volume
ever
since a year or whenever the days were sunny and birds were singing, and we were all happy about Bitcoin. Well, now a study conducted by Bitwise concluded that about 95% of the total trading volume reported by exchanges is artificially created. Their team of researchers tested the performance of 81 exchanges during 4 days in March, and they found specific patterns that were a little inconsistent. The data get by a program designed specifically for the purpose proved that at least 71 of the 81 exchanges studied showed suspicious behavior. This implies that $6 billion on average reported was really only $273 million. A little typo there in the rundown. So at the time in March that they were looking at it, the volume was $6 billion. It has, as reported volume, almost doubled since then. So I guess if the reality is 273 million, maybe we're around 400 million if this report is true. What they were really looking at, though, is comparing it with what would be thought of as more reliable exchanges and something that was slightly more transparent, or maybe quite a bit more transparent. They also forward their results to the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, hoping that this will
help
favor the Bitcoin ETF approval that's being considered. Well, first of all, let me tell you the winners. The top 10 that seem to be truthful and accurate in their volumes, Binance,
really?
Bitfinex, which was one that surprised me a
little
bit.
Yeah, that's a real surprise there.
Kraken, Bitstamp, Coinbase, Bitflyer, Gemini, Itbit, Bittrex, and Poloniex.
What's the major exchanges?
Those are the major exchanges.
Yeah, and I think
who trades
five
on anybody
of them
else
are
other
U.S.
exchanges.
Based.
Yeah, yeah.
Five of them are U.S.-based, which might suggest that being in the U.S. makes them more susceptible to wanting to tell the truth because of the penalties that might follow them up. But what they found when they went to some of these others, and I saw the list of the other 71, and I didn't recognize most of those names. But they would look at the web traffic, which was, you know, you can find the web traffic on almost any website. And so Coinbase might have 140,000 visits or unique users, And this exchange over here has 1,400 visits, and they're supposedly trading $1 billion of Bitcoin. So anyway, it didn't...
So there's a couple of observations from my side. So one thing is interesting, like in order to make yourself more palatable to the SEC, you trash basically the ecosystem. And the interesting thing is you take all of these little exchanges that nobody really cares about, because nobody will in their same mind goes to except to experiment a little bit. And the other, from a programmer perspective, from a software engineering perspective, it is so easy, relatively easy, to set up an exchange. You just take a couple of servers, you throw an exchange software on there, you give yourself a fancy name, and ta-da, you can try to attract some people. We don't know how much of these trades are robotic, basically just scripts that are going on doing some silly stuff in the background. People who trade like that, individuals, they don't really care too much about it. And of course, from an SEC perspective, all these markets are completely unregulated. It's terrible, right? We're pulling our hair out. From the perspective of someone experimenting, playing around with some token that they bought, they couldn't care less. So I think it's no surprise that the major known exchanges are very reliable and seem to have very robust numbers, and all these tiny little exchanges are maybe trying to inflate their numbers by having a bot script buy and sell all the time. So I'm not really shocked and surprised by the whole thing. To me, it sounded like, okay, so where's the news?
Yeah.
Well, it is news because you have these articles that move people, not move the market, but move individuals to make decisions based on alleged increasing volume and security about the health of the marketplace. And if it's, you know, if CoinMarketCap or whoever is accumulating these is not discriminating and getting the weak players out, it does lead people to make decisions that, you know, you would want them to make on better information. But one of the things that Andy would probably notice that this Bitwise looked at, and his fellow co-founders at EatingCryptos.com, Mark Principato, you know, where is Mark these days? Is he shivering up in New Jersey? Or
you know, he actually... I have to say, I was shocked. I was literally shocked when I walked in because I was yelling at him, "What the hell are you doing at 8 o'clock today? There's no, just, we had something to go over and that." And I'm like, "What were you doing?" And then I went to the restaurant. Henry was there. And guess who pulls out behind the bar?
Where else?
I do.
Yeah.
Mark Principato, the other founder of SeenCryptos.com, is in the studio. Hello, Mark.
How's it going? I was getting yelled at all day, and I'm like, I'm busy. Well, what are you doing at 8 o'clock at night on a Sunday? I'm like, I got stuff to do. And then I show up, oh, wow, I'm surprised.
Well, let me ask you something right now, because one of the techniques they use to look at this is the suspect exchanges, their trading was symmetrical. In other words, the orders seemed to line up even, whereas the exchanges that were considered legit, orders would stack up on the sell side or the buy side, and then they would work their way through and get to some kind of equilibrium, and then maybe the pendulum would swing another way. Do you think that was something that you would be able to notice looking at a chart very easily?
I mean, it depends, because there's certain signs that we look for. It's hard to really pinpoint exact movements in order flow. You know, we're looking at very particular things. You'd have to look at, like, time and sales data and stuff like that if you want to see that what's going on in the order flow book. But I have looked at things like on Coinbase. You could see, like, their order flow chart, that graph that kind of fluctuates. And I've also looked at the other one, Bitfinex. And it looks very strange to me. You know, a lot of it just doesn't make sense.
Well, I think a lot of it, you know, it's such a thinly traded market. I mean, it really is.
Where is all this order flow coming from?
Well, I don't think they have to. I think they fill the books in.
That's what they're doing. I think a lot of this is driven by software people who are not coming from finance, just playing with things that are new to them. If I'm sitting there and my order book is not moving, I'm like, oh, this is silly. Let me just take two Bitcoin or something that might have my bot just trade with itself just for fun. And then I might be reporting this number on my website because I don't care about it. And some other website picks the number up and reports it. And someone else puts it in an SEC report. And all of a sudden, I'm like, well, what just happened, you know?
Yeah.
So
you're the number one
trading. Let me ask you something, because it was in this story, is that one of the suspect exchanges said, we have nothing to hide. All our transactions are open and posted. Yeah. But that would be the case anyway.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So what I think would be interesting is actually if you go to this exchange and it's an unknown exchange and you start placing orders, you just see if it's a script, the bot script that where the guy doesn't want to lose any money and it's just shoveling it between himself from one account to the other, and he's never going to pick up your trades. You're just going to sit there and your trades not going to fill. And after a couple of days, you're going to be like, oh, there's nobody here, and you just leave and go to the next exchange, which I think is why you have this pyramid of the exchanges that are known in the chat rooms, on the websites, in discussion forums. They're the ones who really drive the traffic. Yeah, you may have your little exchange artificially pop up on CoinMarketCap, but who are you able to fool that way, really? Someone who's just maybe there the first day, but...
And then they can't even get their money in
right.
Their exchange.
Now, at SeekingCryptos.com, and I want to wrap up on this because we got some other important stories here, at least important to us. What exchanges do you all look at? Do you look at multiple cryptocurrency exchanges or just one or two?
I just look at Coinbase.
Well, we do our analysis mostly on Coinbase. Occasionally we check Bitfinex, but after the whole Tether thing, we don't really waste our time with Bitfinex anymore. So since Coinbase has the most credibility, that's where we do most of our evaluation.
And probably where most of your customers are trading, at least the U.S. customers.
Coinbase also has this great advantage that the limit orders are still free. You know, if you place a limit order, they don't charge you anything for it,
yeah.
Which is really amazing.
Well, they changed that.
Did they? I'm not aware of it yet. Are you sure?
The new structure fee is unless you're trading so much volume, you're going to have to start paying for limit orders.
Okay.
So they've reduced the... I guess to create some more action.
It's
not a maker taker.
And that's on the
Coinbase.
I didn't see that yet.
It's a take and taken market now.
Yeah, I see.
They're taking from both.
Well, if you have a Coinbase account, you really should be moving your trades over to Coinbase Pro if you haven't already.
Yeah,
no, this is Coinbase Pro. Yeah.
Let me go back to Leonard now about Byte Federal, because we said we're going to talk about this new feature that you have. But first of all, when you started out, you did Bitcoin and Dash and some other cryptocurrencies. What cryptocurrencies are you doing on your ATMs now?
We are just doing Bitcoin.
Okay. And you went through a whole process where there were quite a few then back down to Bitcoin.
We did.
How did you get to that?
Well, we initially wanted to support several of the big known cryptocurrencies, Ethereum, Litecoin, Dash, Bitcoin Cash. The problem for us was that we would have to maintain all of the different blockchains ourselves, and then also maintain a volume, a certain amount of assets.
Because regulators and regulations don't allow you to buy as you need it. You have to maintain an inventory.
Correct. For us, as Byte Federal, that's how we're set up, and so we have to maintain a inventory. And that makes it, of course, really, really difficult to maintain too many coins, especially when they fluctuate heavily. So we decided to go back to a simpler model, just Bitcoin for now, and it will change over time too. So it's still our intention to go back and offer more coins. But currently, the biggest need, I mean, even during the times when we offered other coins, I'd say like 98% of all purchases were Bitcoin.
Now, do you see a pattern of accumulation here, or are people selling on the?
Hardly anybody is selling.
So you're seeing a lot of accumulation.
It's still like for us, it's like a 90-10% buy versus sell. Yeah. Even though, I mean, we added some more ATMs that allow two way. It's not every ATM allows a two way transaction. I have to say that. So, in other words,
get cash back
out of Bitcoin. But the few locations that we do have, you really see this 10% versus 90%. 90% of people buying cryptocurrency and 10% selling it. So yeah, overall, just like Andy and Mark, I'm very bullish. And then we have the halving coming in 2020.
Now, what does the halving have to do with the price? And I just don't understand
we've already dealt with that in past shows, and we've got a lot to cover. And I want to make sure we get to that. Well, we said it's coming up on the ATMs.
Yeah.
So that's where you were, and now as of today, you've introduced.
Well, we always add new versions of the kiosk software, so it's been constantly worked on. So this is more than just a regular bank ATM that sits there and does one thing and nothing else. So this is more like a self-service terminal. And in the newest version, the newest latest edition of the code that's pushed to all our ATMs, it has the ability of a marketplace. So anybody who has a great idea for a cryptocurrency or any other product can contact sales@bytefederal.com, and we'll add your product and your service on our machines. One example, for instance, is our gold purchase feature. So since today, I guess, this morning, anybody in the 11 states, 60 Bitcoin ATMs, can take cash and buy physical Swiss vaulted gold at our
ATMs. Like Swiss vaulted gold.
Swiss vaulted gold, yeah.
Bakambe.
Gold in a Swiss vault.
Real physical gold in a Swiss vault that's being audited live. Yeah.
So now, so your machines only do Bitcoin and gold now?
They do Bitcoin and gold. And you can also buy a subscription newsletter from QuantGeeks as an example product, but there'll be more.
We'll get to that in just a second. Mm-hmm. So on the gold, you can take physical delivery if you choose.
Yeah.
But really, you're just adding another cost to your.
Right. That's not us. So we have partnered with a gold exchange, and they will. You have to set up an account with them, right? So it's not a complete one button click activity yet. We're working with them to make that process easier. But if you have an account with this exchange, which is easy to set up. Then there's an integration with our ATM. So you come to our ATM.
Do you set that up on the ATM, or do you go to buyfederal.com?
You go to the exchange website, but everything is explained on the ATM. So if you go to the ATM, it sends you a link. It explains everything. It's a pretty straightforward process.
What time process?
I'd say...
I can come back and buy gold the next day and not have to do it all
over again. Exactly. Yeah. It's a one-time process.
Okay.
Exactly.
So tell us this other innovation, and then we're going to go to a break. QuantGeeks.
Yeah, QuantGeeks is our trading newsletter, a Signal newsletter, and as a sample product on the ATM, we offer the subscriptions too, so people can just buy a one-year subscription. No. So, but that's not the only thing that we want the ATM to serve. As other products might be available too in the future.
That's
hopefully,
computer-assisted trading.
It gives you a signal when a trend forms on Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, and gives you an idea of when it's opportune to buy and when it's a good moment to get out. Just to help people basically try to preserve their capital. I know a lot of people were burned by just trading around unprofessionally, if you will. And so the thought here is that, you know, it's maybe not the best trading system in the world, but we have back-tested it rigorously, and it shows some good performance.
When someone goes and sets up an account, if they don't already have a Bitcoin wallet address, mm-hmm. then one is created for them. Correct?
Well, yeah, if you go to our ATM, if you have to bring a wallet, if you don't have a wallet, the ATM will suggest several rather known wallets to you, and the ATM works with any QR code, so we're kind of ignorant of whatever system you have to store your Bitcoin. You can come with a Bitcoin wallet or a Coinomi wallet or whatever it is, Edge wallet. And buy your Bitcoin through the ATM.
And you can set the wallet up while you're coming there for
yeah,
the first
sure.
time.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the whole process takes like 2 minutes to register at the ATM. It's a pretty straightforward process, and it's well documented, explained on the ATM itself. So it kind of guides you along.
In the studio, we have Leonard Lopen. He is the Chief Technical Officer for Byte Federal ATM Companies. Bytefederal.com is where you can get more information, find the location near you now in 11 different states. So you go to there and just... Watch it spread like a...
Just Google Maps and then Byte Federal near me.
Oh, like, that's okay. We'll do it that way, too. And we also in the studio have Andy, co-founder of SeeingCryptos.com, and actually Mark Principato here today, too.
Yeah.
So that's him. We'll come back right after the break with more with everybody here, and we're also going to look how payment companies are looking at Bitcoin as a new way to dominance. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to bytefederal.com to find a location for you. That's bytefederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on the Henry Rain Show.
If you enjoy the trading and investment ideas you hear on Talking Markets with Mark and Andy, then you're going to want to become a member of their SeekingCryptos.com membership service. And you can join for absolutely free. When you sign up for a free membership at SeekingCryptos.com, you'll start receiving analysis and perspective by email on trade examples, cryptocurrencies, stocks, metals, educational content, and exclusive offers. SeekingCryptos.com has something for you advanced traders too. Check out the premium membership, the expert swing trades, or the quant geeks packages. Seeking Cryptos have skin in the game just like you. They post their trades in real time, and you can follow the results right on their portfolio page. So what are you waiting for? Go to SeekingCryptos.com and sign up for your free membership now.
Alcobra Massage has been providing quality massage therapy in Bradenton for over 5 years, and we are proud and excited to announce we've expanded our practice and boutique to a larger facility. Located at the historic downtown Bradenton, we're in a charming craftsman-style building across the street from the Spring Hill Suites by Marriott. Alcobra Massage offers many treatment rooms, a spacious lobby, and doorfront parking spaces just for our clients. But what we're most proud of is our highly qualified massage therapist offering great service to our valued clients. Availability and instant booking is found at lauraalcover.com. Alcover Massage. Like us on Facebook, 204 13th Street West, Bradenton, Florida, 34205. Book your appointments now at lauraalcover.com or call us at 941-592-3187. MN number 34081. MA number 50525.
It's all the way up. It's all the way up. It's all the way up.
Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Monday 5:05 p.m. to 6 p.m. You can get the podcast at henryrainshow.podomatic.com, but you can also find it on iTunes and a number of other platforms. Just Google the show, and you'll find a platform of your choice that you can find it there. We in the studio, we have Andy Gonti. You're actually giving your last name.
Yeah, I mean,
he's out there like a real businessman. Just
right.
And
well,
Mark
started out, it was just kind of like, okay.
Gold bug.
Yeah. I mean, I just started out posting, and then Mark took me to new limits on TradingView.
Me? What's that? You're harassing me.
And, of course, Chief Technical Officer, I almost said Chief Medical Officer.
Yeah, I'm also the Chief Medical Officer.
Actually, he's the doctor of the ATM.
Yeah,
as the Chief Technical Officer at Byte Federal, our sponsor, ByteFederal.com. So, payment companies are looking longingly at Bitcoin or are looking data companies, big tech companies are looking at payments as a new field to enter, and then they start thinking about cryptocurrency. There was an interesting article that got a lot of play this week. Now, if you listen to past shows, Andy especially, we've had a lot of discussions about Amazon and what if they created a coin and their presence around the world, and I've postulated and opined a bunch about how they could create a global currency. Well, Ted Livingston is the CEO of the messaging platform Kik. Now, I've heard of it. I know that they've got penetration on parts of the world. Leonard, are you familiar with Kik?
I think I downloaded their app like once for about a day or so. That's my familiarity.
Well, they use a cryptocurrency to, I guess, provide gas for their messaging services.
Right,
well.
Yeah, the idea of a WeChat kind of knockoff idea, right? Have some payment system.
So, and that's where Mr. Livingston went when he said that he thought that Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, doesn't just want to have a Facebook cryptocurrency. He wants a replacement for the U.S. dollar. And he says that because he's thinking about WhatsApp. Facebook moves aren't steeped in anything nefarious, he said. They always say they're trying to do it for the good of their customers. But it also is going to help with people who are working in foreign regions send their earnings to people in their native countries. Well, that's if they succeed in what this business model is, which is basically a copy of WeChat. Now, most of us in the U.S. aren't real familiar with WeChat, we may have heard of it, but it's the Chinese messaging social media and mobile payment app. And it was initially used as a way to send money or a value to one of your contacts in the WeChat app. From there, they started to do payment services. Now, initially you put the money into the app, and then it would go out to pay your water bills or food or buy vacations, et cetera, like that. But then they created a bigger and bigger ecosystem, a.k.a. like Amazon, where you can buy, you never have to leave Amazon to get almost anything you want, so to keep the money inside the WeChat ecosystem. Well, if Facebook could offer a way to send money for free, it would be a game changer for tens of millions of people. And keeping track of the money on the blockchain would allow Facebook to do the payments without needing to become a bank and avoid a lot of regulations, also cross-border regulations. Instead of working with regulators like WeChat did in China, Facebook can roll out a global financial system without needing to go through the time-intensive process of that. Now, that was just in a general article about this because it got a lot of coverage. So I went to the actual Medium article to see how Mr. Livingston was making his case here. And a lot of the same thing was in the preface of that. But then he started going in. He points out that India receives more remittance each year than any other country in the world. And WhatsApp is the most popular app in India. What does that give Facebook? Well, excuse me, they now own WhatsApp. It gives them a foothold in the second most populous country in the world that does more remittances than any country in the world. They have a big jump start on creating a global payment service in the Facebook system.
I'm not sold on it. What do you think, Leonard? I mean,
I really like the India or the overseas. South America loves WhatsApp. India didn't know if they love WhatsApp. That's a pretty strong number of people. And if you make it easy enough, some of us are using Square's Cash App, right, or Venmo, other similar smaller scale services, and they work really nice. So I've never used WeChat for payments. I don't know exactly. I've just seen it in documentaries, but it's amazing how it kind of took over the payment sector there.
I use one myself, and it's what's the one that I transfer?
Zelle.
Yeah,
Zelle.
I tell you what, that's
Zito's cash transfer service. Yeah.
Boom, done. Yeah. I mean, it's that quick. And
yeah, it's just like Square Cash. And the funny thing is, if you think about it, Bitcoin payments are like that, except that the settling process, right, takes 10 minutes.
And the thing I think that's a challenge for that is on like Facebook. You know, you can go on there and buy, sell stuff, just like on eBay and all those other places. But the thing is I use my PayPal. I like to use PayPal because PayPal, I can go back and say, wait a minute, this is not what I bought. Yeah. Where if you use a cryptocurrency, it's done. You're screwed.
Yeah. And, the question is
in the system now, but we're looking at something different here.
But what's
Leonard
different?
Leonard brought up Square, and that is our next story. It's going to be an interesting counterpoint to this. Anyway, with Facebook, so initially the Face Coin, if that's what they decide to call it, will be a stable coin that will, I hate to say, peg to the dollar because it's going to be international, so it's going to have to float in regards to different currencies as currencies change.
Yeah, that's just right there.
Mr. Livingston also points out that Philippines, Egypt, Mexico, and Vietnam are, as Leonard also pointed out, probably prime locations where WhatsApp has great penetration now. And then once they combine that with Instagram and Messenger, and the Facecoin can transmit through all those systems, well, they got billions of people in the system. People might say, well, it's just another stable coin. That's how it starts until you leverage that into being able to buy resources and supplies and items in Facecoin throughout different markets around the world.
I just, what's the difference in having you gotta buy the stable coin. So you still have to go from cash to the stable coin and then transfer it. And I mean,
they would have to make this. They would have to make this disappear behind the scenes. It would have to be just your dollar denominated in your country.
Let's go back then and flip it to Amazon, which Leonard wasn't here for those discussions. at Amazon, you have everything you want. I mean, there might be something you can't buy on Amazon, but for talking purposes, you can pretty much buy everything you want there. And now you got to get adoption. Mm-hmm. So you start out by saying, almost like a rewards program, but it really isn't. You know, give us your put $100 in, you can buy $110 of.
It's a rewards program.
Right. But once you get to a critical mass of users and you have the purchasing power, you can leverage that against the vendors that are in the system. It's because the vendors can buy within the system. And just like in a...
It would be interesting to read a little bit about WeChat's history, right? So you see how that played out, and I don't really know.
But everything has to go back to being based on something. And back in the day, it was 1 ounce of gold. And it's still going to have to go back to based on $1 bill.
I think if Facebook were to do this, they would probably take the dollar here or the currency over there, and they'll try to match it. Who said that this is going to be based on a cryptocurrency exactly? Where is that information coming from?
Well, the Facebook is looking at a stable coin, is what they were doing.
Okay.
What I'm saying when I'm flipping to Amazon now is that there are points of leverage in the pricing power both for the vendor and on the retail side, on the wholesale side.
Yeah.
Just like Amazon told some of their the people that sell on their platform that they couldn't get ads on, and ads are the lifeblood of those independent retailers. Unless you price your thing lower, we're not going to sell you ads. So you have lots of points of pressure in this. It's just like if you want to sell in the U.S. market.
I mean, a stable coin issued by a private company that is large enough to push it to their customers or consumers makes sense. That possibly can happen, but it's not a cryptocurrency. A stable, for me at least, in my definition, a stable coin is a centrally run coin.
But the U.S. dollar is a reserve currency. You know, we've been purchasing oil is priced in it and things like that. When you get a multi-billion-dollar currency outside the system that is global, that mm-hmm. can buy things across borders, all of a sudden you've got a point of power that most people couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, they'll have FaceFed.
Yeah.
It's Facebook will have their own, basically will be similar to a central bank.
But it's all still going to go back to the dollar. I mean, you're not. Well, I don't think you're going to get
rupee,
away from
or the rupee,
right.
Or the peso.
Well, they're all based on the dollar. I mean, there's
but for now, until
the dollar
you get a system bigger than the.
Yeah, but there's.
Interesting to watch.
Let me one more example, and then we're going to move on. Okay, so
you're
defending the dollar.
The Mickey Mouse Club. You're getting some discounts. You know.
What about when you want to buy oil in Russia, and Amazon wants to be the middleman and the broker of it?
You're still buying in dollars. Because if you're selling your oil...
Look at all the countries that have sanctions against them.
I don't like Amazon. I don't buy anything on Amazon.
Right,
so
that isn't the argument.
But here's the point is, it's only good as if it's something that everybody uses. And everybody uses the dollar, either directly or indirectly. And that's really it. You know, the S&P, 40% of earnings come from overseas. So whether you are trading in rupees or euros or whatever it is, francs, it all goes back to the dollar. And I think what you are going to see is eventually you're going to see a lot of these smaller currencies fade off.
How did the dollar surpass the pound?
Huh?
How did the dollar become the global currency over the pound?
Well, just because we became so powerful. I mean,
right.
I mean, pretty much that's it. We're the global power, and we use the most energy, and it's priced in oil, but still, pound is.
What is it also? There were a lot of political moves that occurred, you know, way back when that helped establish the dollar as the world reserve currency, right? There's a lot of politics involved in this.
Yeah.
Well, after World War II and the fading of the British Empire, but the British Empire used mercantilism to create their dominance and hegemony of the multi.
Well, remember, it was still based on a world currency, which was gold at that time.
Right, so the British setting the gold standard, and everybody else in Europe copying them after seeing how they ran away with the Industrial Revolution.
Well, we're not going to solve it today, but human nature as it is, when you have the richest people in the world with controls of companies that span the globe...
They're not that big. I mean, they don't do near the... Walmart would actually have a better chance of doing it because they're... Their sales is so much greater than Amazon.
It's still interesting and interesting experiments, and the stable coins being basically digital versions of central bank coins will be interesting to watch how the adoption
Maybe
goes.
Maybe they can't do it, but I will guarantee you that it has crossed Jeff Bezos' mind about what a global currency based in his corporate system could do, what Mark Zuckerberg has thought about it.
You have to. I think the one thing.
Human nature.
I guess the federal background, the laws, regulations, compliance that you invoke by taking that step is also global.
Today,
yeah, and obviously, I mean, all of us working on systems, we're trying to make the flow of capital easier and. In a certain way, more just, if you will. It's going to be an experiment.
Well, let's go to altruism now. Because evidently CEO Jack Dorsey is altruistic in that he's looking to hire a number of engineers and a designer to work on Square's crypto initiatives. And he wants this to be them to work full-time on open-source contributions to the Bitcoin crypto ecosystem. So if it were open-source... just tell our audience quickly what that would mean for how things work and how they're shared.
Well, most programming currently in the cryptocurrency space, at least the very important projects, happens in an open source environment. And Jack Dorsey, the founder of Twitter, got bitten by the Bitcoin bug. And if you've seen this a couple of weeks ago, he started sending around the Lightning Torch. That made him, I think, very excited. And the next thing he tweeted was a CASA note that he set up in his house to kind of support this burgeoning new Bitcoin layer of payment systems. And of course, he founded Square, which is a big player in the payment space. So those are all very positive notes from the cryptocurrency space. Watching this, and then this last week, he just hit the splash of news waves, saying that, you know what, this is all so amazing, and the Bitcoin community is kind of cool. We would like to give back, and would like to hire 5 or 6 developers full time, reporting directly to me. Okay, that's also interesting. And they can work on whatever they think is necessary to push the crypto adoption further. And
he also says they won't be focusing on Square's commercial interests, but, quote, on what's best for the crypto community, end quote. And sounds great.
Yeah.
What I think is when you're a billionaire, because by nature, if you're accumulating billions, you want to get to the top of the mountain. He knows he can never catch Amazon with Square, even if it becomes a dominant payment app beyond the U.S. So the only other way to maintain, to establish your dominance is through not controlling the open source, because that's not how it is, but to create the alternative model to the.
You said an important word, though, there. You said an important word there, controlling, and that's the problem with all these. Other types of coins is you have somebody controlling. Do you want Jack Dorsey making those decisions?
I don't think he's going to be in that position.
I misspoke there because it's open source. But what I'm saying is he's creating the alternative model to these closed systems of Facebook and Amazon.
So Jack Dorsey seems to be a pretty thoughtful guy. I've seen him once live on stage at a presentation, and that was in a startup school, I think, in California. And his whole talk was about keeping a notebook of your failures and your successes. Okay, so the guy is a deep thinker, if you will, in the technology space. And he landed 2 big successes with Twitter and with Square. So I think one thing he mentioned is that he's been buying Bitcoin. $10,000 worth of Bitcoin, which is the limit in this Great Cash app, over the last who knows how long, accumulating, right? Okay, it's just pocket change, billionaire, right? And it's interesting if he positions Square in a good position towards the cryptocurrency space, and he pushes the cryptocurrency space forward, it's just going to benefit him. You know, there's no way around it. Like, you can be altruistic as much as you want, but at the same time,
we're on a very tight clock here because the next show plays. So I'm just going to read the headlines real quickly because they all tie in. We've all talked about payment now with Facebook and WeChat, with Square. IBM is paving the way for banks and other regulated financial institutions. With IBM Blockchain WorldWire, will help financial institutions. institutions improve the services they deliver to consumers by optimizing and accelerating their foreign exchange cross-border payments and remittance using the Stellar protocol. So big news for Stellar there. And then almost simultaneously, but just maybe a day or two later, we had a follow-up story where Western Union is working hard to improve their cross-border remittances, and they're going to be using Stellar as their technology for
transmitters.
So something that has been really facing the heat of competition as far as Western Union and looking at how people are going to be transmitting back to their families in other countries or wherever.
See, I think that's really the one that has a chance is Stellar.
So, well, and let's go to Leonard on that. We only have about a minute and a half. Why is Stellar being the focus of IBM and now Western Union?
Because
what
it's more,
advantages over Ripple?
More central than a traditional cryptocurrency. I don't know too much about the protocol of Stellar, but if you correct me if I'm wrong, it's coming from originally from the Ripple. Is it a Ripple project?
So
is it a knockoff
of
the other?
Right? Was one right. of the co-founders of Ripple. Well, let's open it back up then to Andy and Mark. What does that mean for Ripple? Because it sounds like the pendulum is swinging the other way against adoption of Ripple.
To me, they're tokens. They're not value. It's not Bitcoin. It doesn't have value. And
it's not a public good.
Exactly.
It's not a public. That's, I think, the big difference. Whether it's a stable coin, it's going to be a Stellar network, a Ripple network. These banks, in theory, could have done a much better job on international payment systems many, many years ago. But the blockchain revolution, if you will, of these public,
is
kind of pushing them now. They can't be held back anymore.
Well, they want to charge $150
yep.
for a transaction. And it takes 5 days because they're floating your money.
If Bitcoin becomes a global standard, though, it's going to be really hard for middlemen.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're going to
cut out.
All right. Thanks to Leonard Logan, Byte Federal. Go to ByteFederal.com. Find out about purchasing gold. Find out about their ATMs for Bitcoin. Find out about QuantGeeks. Go to SeekingCryptos.com. Find the latest articles by Andrew Gonti, Mark Principato. Listen to them at 4:05 every Monday, and we'll be back next week with another Henry Main Show.
I'm the Pied Piper, and I'll show you where it's at.
Girl, don't be scared to move, baby. What are you trying to prove? It ain't true.